All right, welcome to Brighteon Broadcast News for Tuesday, November 21st, 2023. Mike Adams here. Thank you for joining me today. I will have another episode for you tomorrow as well, but not on Thursday because that's Thanksgiving Day in the United States. Happy pre-Thanksgiving, everybody. And then Friday, I will have an episode for you and probably some updates over the weekend. But of course, if crazy nukes start flying or whatever on Thanksgiving or the day before, I will definitely record, you know, a Thanksgiving episode. So I guess it's just determined by world events. Also, want to mention, I've got an interview coming up today that I think you'll appreciate, especially those of you who are women listeners interested in self-defense. There is a new court decision that is a big deal. It put a nearly permanent stay on the ATF's arm brace rule. And what this does is it allows gun manufacturers all across America to now legally sell arm brace pistols. And the company that I really respect, called Shield Arms, that has some very innovative products, they just recently sent me for evaluation a folding 9mm AR-style pistol carbine with an arm brace that is the most amazing, the most compact and usable self-defense system for women. I mean, you can't carry it as a sidearm. Obviously, it's much larger than that. But for something in your home or even in your vehicle where legal, you know, check your local laws, this is ideal. So I decided to invite on Brandon from Shield Arms to talk about this technology. They have a patented folding system. And, you know, with the arm braces back in play now, the ATF got smacked down. These systems are available right now. And by the way, for those of you who have been waiting to purchase firearms or AR-15 pistols from like Maxim Defense, let's say, or I don't know, or Palmetto State Army or anywhere, you can do that now. You can do that. Again, check your local laws. You have to use an FFL, but that's all legal right now. In fact, I just, you know, acquired not too many days ago this folding arm braced AR style 9mm pistol that I'm going to be talking about today. So it's a really good self-defense tool. We'll be talking about that. Okay. Not everybody was happy with my comments on Trump yesterday. I do always appreciate your feedback, and it's requiring me to clarify. So thank you for the opportunity to let me clarify here. Look, here's my assessment. Number one, you know me, if you've listened to this for any period of time, I don't worship personalities, right? I'm not into celebrity status. If I vote for Trump, and I did vote for Trump twice, by the way, if I were to vote for him again, it would be entirely based on his principles and what I believe to be his actions and his loyalties, his morals, and so on, right? And same thing with other candidates like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. running as an independent. If I vote for anyone, it's not because they're a famous person or a big shot person or a big name. It's because I would believe that they have the closest match to the values that I cherish, that I think are really important for our liberties, our country, our future together. So that's one thing I wanted to state. Yes, I'm harsh on Trump right now, but with reason. Secondly, I am constantly reevaluating my positions, and I do not hold grudges against any of these candidates. Right now, I'm very disillusioned about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. because he has not said, you know, stop bombing the children in Gaza, for example. And as you know, for many years, I've been very frustrated with Trump and his ties to Big Pharma and Pfizer. Those are not grudges. I can change my conclusion at any time based on that person's behavior or what they say. For example, RFK Jr. could come out tomorrow and say, yeah, you know what? We need to seek peace. We need a ceasefire. We need to have maybe a two-state solution. We've got to stop this endless war. And by the way, Israel is carrying out acts of clear genocide in Gaza. And if he said those things, I would be really impressed. And it would change my analysis and my view of RFK Jr. for the positive. If Trump came out tomorrow and said, oh, hi, I'm Donald J. Trump. I'm running for president. And by the way, I want to end the Federal Reserve and have an honest money system so that the government can't just keep printing endless money and weaponizing it against we the people. If he said that, I mean, he would be, number one, basically channeling Ron Paul, which is a good thing. Ron Paul would be the perfect candidate right now. But if he said that, I would have a lot more respect for Trump, and I would reevaluate my position accordingly. So that's two things to keep in mind. Just remember, I don't hold in my heart hatred or grudges to any of these candidates. I'm constantly reevaluating them. And that goes for Democrats, too. I don't just inherently hate all Democrats, although I've been very critical, obviously, of Democrats over the years. But if there is a Democrat out there that I think is saying something really important, something that we need to hear, for example, I just interviewed Dennis Kucinich, and he's a Democrat, and his voice right now at this moment in history, I think, is absolutely critical. And that's why I interviewed him and was really impressed with what he had to say, because he is a man of peace. He is a man of a lot of wisdom, actually. And he and I probably do not agree on many issues, maybe Second Amendment, maybe climate change. I don't know. We didn't even talk about those things. We didn't even talk about RFK. We talked about how can we stop the deaths of women and children and civilians in Gaza? How do we get to peace? How do we get to a world where we can coexist with each other without bombing and killing each other constantly? That is the most important question right now in this moment. And so I can welcome a conversation with almost anyone if I think that they have something valuable to say, and if we can find some areas of common agreement, which frankly, I can usually find an area of common agreement with almost anyone. Almost. Maybe not like crazy psycho serial killers, but pretty much anybody else, I can find some common ground. But I can also find areas, of course, of criticism with almost anyone, including Trump, including Trump, including RFK Jr. And as far as I'm concerned, the more powerful the position a person is running for, the more stringent the requirements should be for how well they honor morals and principles and ethics and so on. You know, for example, if there's some guy running a lemonade stand on the corner of the street, if he's not the most moral person, so what? Somebody gets bad lemonade. You know, it's not the end of the world. Somebody gets the wrong change after buying lemonade. Yeah, somebody lost 50 cents. Okay, not the end of the world. But if somebody's in the White House and they are immoral, or their loyalties are with the Pentagon rather than the people, let's say, as an example, that's a big problem. That's a problem that can affect the lives of many, many millions of people, if not billions of people around the world, ultimately. So we must hold candidates for U.S. president to a much higher standard than we would hold, let's say, even somebody running for a local, you know, mayor position or even a governor position, although governors are very important, obviously. But the president, you got to hold him to a high, high standard. And what I said yesterday about Trump, I stand by it because it's absolutely true. I said on the big three things that really matter, you know, the big money makers in our society, which is disease, debt, and war, right? Big pharma, big finance, and, you know, military industrial complex. Trump is all in on all three of those things, which means that the establishment is okay with Trump. And yeah, Trump might anger them with the little things around the edges, like, oh, we're going to build a wall. They don't really care. I want to say the powers that be, the globalists, they don't really care if you build a wall. They know that's just a decoration. You know, it's just show and tell time, right? Yeah, you build a wall. So what? They don't care. They're going to fly people in. You know, they're going to have people coming in on boats. They don't care if you build a wall. Trump builds a wall, but he still approves big pharma, big finance, and big war. Well, he's their man, you see? That's my point. Now, there's another thing that I'm noticing here, which is, it's worth mentioning. And by the way, if you disagree with anything I say, you are, of course, always welcome and even encouraged to do your own analysis and post it on Brighteon.com, which is the platform that we built for that purpose, or post it on Rumble. You know, exercise your free speech. I think the more voices that we have in this space, in debates, you know, the marketplace of ideas, I think the more voices, the better. So please consider doing that. But one thing I'm noticing right now, as Trump is, he is achieving some pretty major victories right now. This is why I'm convinced that Trump is going to be allowed to win in 2024, right? Assuming we get to it. But Governor Abbott, for example, just endorsed Trump. And the courts in various states, you know, are not allowing the lawsuits to succeed that try to block Trump from being on the ballot. Okay, so, and there are some other things as well. But Trump, as much as he has been, you know, attacked and unfairly vilified and smeared and lied about and all that, he's still being positioned to be the next president. Because again, like I said yesterday, I think the whole Biden scheme has run its course. Like, they've worn out the Biden ploy. And the American people are just fed up with it, and they want somebody different. And a lot of Americans will think that if Trump gets in, that's a victory for us, we the people, when it's really not so much. You know, it's a victory for the establishment. It's a victory for big pharma, big banks, and big war, obviously, like I said. But it'll look like it's a victory for us, especially if he starts to build a wall. Look, I can see the wall. You know, we got a wall. Awesome. He kept his campaign promise. Yay. Again, doesn't matter. This is going to bring people across in other ways. But what I'm noticing is that a lot of talk about Trump getting back into office now, it's so optimistic among a lot of people in a lot of quarters. It's like, yeah, Trump, he's going to get into office and he's going to clean out the deep state. You know, he's going to eliminate the FBI. He's going to get rid of the DOJ. And I'm starting to think of, you know, President Camacho from Idiocracy, right? Remember that scene? And he's going to make the crops grow. He's going to do it all in one day. Remember that scene from Idiocracy? It's starting to sound like this. And as I'm hearing this, in my mind, you know what this sounds like to me? Q 2.0. Yeah. Remember the Q, the whole Q movement, which really began with the 2020 election and, you know, the rigging of that election. And the Q movement, which I think in retrospect, most of us can agree it was a complete psyop, probably a military intelligence psyop. But the whole Q narrative was that Trump allowed the Democrats to steal the election. And it was all being documented, but Trump was still in charge under the continuity of government rules that had been put in place beforehand, and that he stepped back to allow the Democrats to incriminate themselves. And then at some point, the White Hats were going to swoop in and there were going to be mass arrests, which would be the end of the Democrat Party forever. And they would arrest Hillary Clinton. They would arrest Joe Biden. They would arrest Bill Clinton, right? They would arrest them all. Probably find Jeffrey Epstein, arrest him again too. They would arrest everybody, and then we would all cheer because we were told you're watching a movie. It's all a setup to trap the Democrats, and we have, you know, the Navy SEALs on our side, and we have the military intelligence divisions on our side, and we have, you know, secret black robe people on our side, and all this. This was the Q movement, which some people call QAnon, but that was never actually a correct name because it wasn't QAnon. It was just Q. It was the Q movement. And to this day, there are still some people that are advocating that Q is still in play. That's what they're saying. I'm not convinced of that. There was a while, actually, right after the election in 2020, that November, December, and January, where my conclusions did kind of run parallel to Q. But it became clear to me, especially after January 6th and then January 20th, when Biden was sworn into office, it became clear to me that none of that was going to happen. None of the Q stuff was going to happen. It was just a pipe dream. But a lot of people have stuck to the Q narrative ever since. And I understand if you're listening to this and you still think the Q narrative is in play. Look, I understand it's convincing. There's a lot of hope. It's a positive ray of light to look forward to. I totally get it. I understand. And there are some weird things that have happened out there that might point in that direction. But at this point, I'm not convinced that Q is in play at all. I think it's a psyop, right? So now I'm seeing Q 2.0 in this narrative that Trump's going to come back into office and he's going to fix everything. And you know the saying, right? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And I admit, after Trump won the election in 2016, I almost felt like I'd been teleported to an alternate dimension. We defeated the great satanic evil of Hillary Clinton, who apparently smells like sulfur, according to some people, if you can believe that. I don't know. I've never been around Hillary Clinton. I don't know what she smells like. I wouldn't be surprised. But the point is, she's pure evil. We defeated the evil that was going to bring down America. We had a new hope for America in Donald Trump, the ultimate outsider who promised he was going to drain the swamp, right? He was going to lock her up. That's Hillary Clinton. And he was going to build the wall. And of course, as time went on and the Democrats and the deep state establishment launched every possible obstruction against Trump, they came up with the Russian dossier. They impeached him twice, I think, right? They just lied and lied and lied. The media, the CIA, everybody, the FBI was actively working to entrap Trump and to get Trump the whole time. We all watched that in total dismay at how dangerous our country had become. And yet, there are so many things that Trump could have done that he did not do, that in retrospect, we have to look back and say, why didn't he fight back? Why was Trump paralyzed? Why did he appoint Jeff Sessions to be the attorney general? And why didn't he back Jeff Sessions? Why did Sessions recuse himself for, 2 years? Stand back and let the DOJ just run roughshod over the president. What the heck was that? Right? And then Bill Burr, after that, same thing. Bill Burr working for the deep state. Why did Trump appoint all these people who were all deep state traitors? Again and again and again. James Comey for the FBI was kept there by Trump. Trump kept Fauci in power. As the executive commander in chief, Trump could have fired all these people. He could have fired Comey. He could have fired Fauci. He could have fired, Sessions. He could have fired all these people. But he didn't. And he didn't build the wall, and he didn't drain the swamp, and he didn't lock her up. He did manage to get a nice tax cut passed, which only passed the Congress because so many members of Congress are engaged in insider trading that they have a lot of profits from their stock trades, again, just skimming off the system with an unfair advantage, that they needed a way to pay less taxes on that. And so, of course, they all agreed with that. So, yeah, we got a tax cut under Trump, a pretty nice one. But we didn't build a wall. We didn't drain the swamp. We didn't lock her up. If anything, everything got so much worse, not Trump's fault in that case, but because of the left's reaction and the establishment's reaction. Censorship went insane during those years. And then, of course, the DOD got so desperate to try to defeat Trump that they actually conspired with Communist China, with the Wuhan lab, and sent over the samples for the SARS-CoV-2 bioweapon, had it enhanced with the funding through, of course, Fauci and others at the NIAID. Came back and launched that to destroy the Trump presidency. And it worked. And then somebody whispered in Trump's ear and said, hey, Trump, you want to beat this COVID thing? What you got to do is fast track a bunch of vaccines. That's right. Order the FDA to bypass clinical trials and order emergency use authorization. And in effect, that's what happened. Trump ordered, the CDC, the FDA, everybody involved, the big pharma, hurry up, fast track this so-called vaccine. We don't care if it works or doesn't work. We don't care if it's safe or not safe. get it out there, get it into everybody's arms, jab it into women and men and pregnant women and elderly and children eventually. And we'll just make it all happen. I mean, who cares about the science? And they tricked Trump into supporting all that. He went along with that and then became the Operation Warp Speed president, which of course has now killed who knows how many millions of people in the United States alone, or not to mention disabling and maiming many millions of people that takes them out of the workforce. So the economic damage, the depopulation effects have been vast. In fact, and I know I'm going to take some heat on this, but this is absolutely true. This is just a true statement that Trump's pushing of Operation Warp Speed has actually killed more civilians than Netanyahu's bombing of Gaza. It's true. It's true. Look at the numbers. Yeah, I know people are like, how dare you compare those two things? Well, hey, it is what it is. You look at how many Americans are dead because of Operation Warp Speed. Those deaths go right back to Trump. It was his decision to do that because he thought it would beat the pandemic and restore the economy and keep him in power. And it's very possible, by the way, that in the next year, especially as it is now apparent that Trump is the front runner for the GOP, whether the GOP realizes it or not, it's quite possible that the mainstream media is going to flip the script on the early COVID vaccine, you know, the Trump vaccine, and lay the blame for the side effects and deaths and myocarditis at Trump's feet. Now, the way the media will do this is they'll say, well, the Trump vaccine was dangerous, but the Biden boosters were safe because, you know, the FDA had more time to review, you know, the data and the science, and the drug companies, the vaccine manufacturers had more time. So the Biden boosters were safe and effective, but the Trump jabs were dangerous because orange man bad. And so they can lay that blame at Trump's feet. And frankly, Trump deserves some of that blame because he pushed them. He pushed the agencies to push emergency use authorization, and he pushed the military, by the way, to inject everybody in the United States military. And let me be clear about the following statement here. This is not, this is not hatred towards Trump. This is not anger at Trump. This is not holding a grudge or anything. This is a statement of fact that, in my analysis, in my conclusion, ordering the entire United States military to take the experimental bioweapon jab was an act of treason against America and against our men and women in uniform. It was an act of treason because it directly killed and maimed who knows how many service members. It killed them and it maimed them. And it wasn't rooted in good science. It wasn't rooted in clinical trials or testing. And even the so-called pandemic itself, or as we say, the plandemic, it was never a real threat to especially young, healthy service members. It was never a threat to them. To this day, I mean, it's clear there are hundreds of thousands of service members either dead, injured, or maimed, or disabled because Trump pushed Operation Warp Speed on the military. And he needs to own up to that. And again, I'm not saying that out of spite or anger. It is a simple matter of fact. Because I honor the lives of our service members. Even as much as I criticize the leadership of the military, I honor our men and women in uniform. And you know what? Here we are now, 3 years later, 3.5 years later, and the United States military has recruitment posters out there that say, hey, we want you back. If you quit the military because of the vaccine requirement, guess what? You don't need vaccines anymore, and you can come on back. That's right. This is from the Department of the Army. There's a letter that's been going out from the Department of the Army. Let me read it for you. It's unbelievable. It says, we write to notify you of new Army guidance regarding the correction of military records for former members of the Army following rescission of the COVID-19 vaccination requirement. As a result of the rescission of all current COVID-19 vaccine requirements. Former soldiers who were involuntarily separated for refusal to receive the COVID-19 vaccination. Funny how they use the word separated. No, they were kicked out of the military. They were given the boot. But those people may request a correction of their military records from either or both the Army Discharge Review Board or the Army Board for Correction of Military Records. You understand? You understand what this letter is saying? This letter should have started out with, hey, all y'all Army people who said no to the vaccines, we're really, really freaking sorry. We screwed up. We shouldn't have booted you out of the Army. You were right. The vaccine never should have been required. We would love to offer you back pay and, you know, your rank back and your responsibilities back. Come on back. We'll never do this to you again. P.S. We need a whole bunch of white soldiers to die for Israel, by the way. That's what this is all about. But don't talk about that. So this letter is being distributed by the Department of the Army. It goes on. I mean, they're offering to correct the military records, to correct them, to go back to a person's military record and to retroactively delete that they were booted out of the Army for not taking the vaccine. This is how much they need recruits now. This is how wrong they were to push the vaccine mandate, and Trump is the one who pushed it. Trump should be issuing a statement to every member of the military right now. Trump should be issuing a statement saying, as president, I screwed up. I apologize. I should never have forced this vaccine on you. I should have honored your service to this country and to its national defense. I was wrong. I apologize. It will never happen again. You will never be forced to take a vaccine against your will in the military again. But Trump will never do that. He will never do that because the military forces all kinds of vaccines on service members. That's the first thing that happens before they deploy you overseas is they jab you full of all these shots and all these cocktails of who knows what all at the same time. And then a lot of service members get sick when that happens, by the way. And those of you in the service, you know exactly what I'm talking about. They use you as a freaking pincushion before they send you over to the sandbox, right? That's exactly what they do. All right, continuing with the letter. Individuals may request a correction from military personnel records, including records regarding the characterization of discharge, by submitting a request to the ADRB and so on and so forth in here, or you can mail a form 293 to blah, 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 or you can download this PDF form 149 application for correction of military records under the provisions of Title 10, Section 1552. I mean, of course, it's the Army, so there's going to be a lot of forms involved. There's going to be a lot of different numbers, different titles and codes and forms and signatures and procedures involved. But it's the Army. And here's the best part, okay? Here's the best part. Last paragraph. Individuals who desire to apply to return to service, we want you back, should contact their local Army, U.S. Army Reserve, or Army National Guard recruiter, who is probably fully jabbed, by the way, for more information. They're probably shedding at the Army recruiting office, shedding spike protein all over you, by the way. Individuals may locate an Army recruiter by visiting goarmy.com or a USAR recruiter by visiting goarmyreserve.com and so on and so forth. Goarmy.com. Sincerely, what is this? Rampy? Oh, Hope C. Rampy. His name is Rampy. Brigadier General, United States Army Director, Military Personnel Management. It literally says Military Personnel Management because he forgot the T. He forgot the T. Here is a Brigadier General of the United States Army who can't spell the word military. I kid you not. I kid you not. That's in the letter. So, number one, those of you who were in the military and you held your ground and you got discharged, guess what? You were right. You were owed an apology. And, of course, I was right, right? And all of us were right who said the vaccine's dangerous, you shouldn't have to take it, shouldn't be forced upon you. 8,000 plus service members were discharged from the Army over this policy, this vaccine mandate. Guess how many of the 8,000 have gone back into the service now? Guess how many out of 8,000? 43. That is like 0.05%, I think, something like that. That is, 43 out of 8,000. You know why? Because, the 7,900 and almost 60, they told the U.S. Army, go F yourself, you bleeping mother effers who tried to kill me with a vaccine. That's what those people are saying. It's exactly what they're saying. And Trump pushed this on people. Trump pushed Operation Warp Speed. So for anybody out there asking me, why are you being harsh on Trump? I'm not being harsh on Trump. Trump did this himself. I didn't tell him to do this. Trump proved that Trump can't be trusted with our military. Trump caused the deaths of who knows how many thousands of military personnel. Trump did that. That's not me. I'm not even judging Trump on that. I'm just pointing it out. Trump did it. He was the commander in chief. He could have said no. He could have said no vaccine mandates for the military. No. It's not proven, he could have said, but he didn't. Is that man qualified to lead the military again? I ask you that question. In my mind, the answer is obvious. I would never encourage anyone to join the United States military under these conditions, where you can be forced to take a bioweapon jab at any time against your will, because that's exactly what happened in 2021. And for a couple of years since then. Trump fundamentally does not believe in individual liberty. That's clear. If he did, he would have said to every service member back in 2021, oh, it's up to you whether you want to take the jab. He didn't do that. And furthermore, Trump has already promised that if he's elected president, he's going to send more of our soldiers to go fight in the Middle East, by the way, because he's going to give Israel everything they want. All the money they need, yeah, U.S. taxpayer-supported money. All the weapons they need, which means all the soldiers they need. So, hey, all of you who got discharged from the Army because you didn't take the death jab that Trump tried to push on you, how would you like to join up the Army under Trump and get sent to die for the Zionists in Gaza, blown up in a tunnel? Yeah, because Trump needs you there to fight for the Zionists. How's that sound? Oh, if you thought the jab was bad, wait till you take an RPG in the shoulder, huh? Yeah. I don't know about you, but that sounds completely freaking insane to join up and be part of Trump's military. Are you kidding me? Look, I know a lot of soldiers, a lot of veterans. I have a lot of respect for any man or woman who served in uniform. I've been consistent about that over all the years. I don't know anybody that wants to go die for the Zionists in Israel. Nobody. Except maybe some dual citizen military people that are Israeli Americans. Yeah, they sure. Yeah, go back to Israel. Go on a bug hunt in your tunnel. See how that works out for you. Like a real tunnel, not the fake ones they keep filming for television. Look, we found a tunnel. And they go down in this tunnel and it's so obvious that it was poured concrete, like an industrial like concrete rebar building foundation pillar system. It's so obvious it's not a Hamas tunnel, but they try to tell you it's a Hamas tunnel, man. This unedited video, except for the part where we edited it, is completely real. It's so fake. It's such theater. It's just pathetic. I'm watching these videos, they're running around like this IDF soldier, look at this calendar on the wall, this calendar in Arabic, it's a name of all the targets of the terrorists. And it turns out it's just the names of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday in Arabic. You know what I mean? They just made it all up. They can just point at anything. Look at this crack in the floor. This is a crack where they hide the RPGs. This is where the weapons are hidden in the crack, Look at the ceiling. The ceiling, this is where they hang the prisoners, they're just making it up constantly, every second. It's almost bad SNL, Saturday Night Live. It's like a bad skit, bad comedy. Look at this hospital beaker. Look at this beaker. This is where they drain the blood of the children before they bake them in the Hamas ovens. Yes, this is the beaker, the child blood beaker. You know, and you're like, you're just making that up. It's just pathetic. And then Israeli television shows you the drone overflight of hundreds of civilian vehicles that were clearly hit by helicopter rockets and like Hellfire missiles also. And they tell you, look at what Hamas did to all these vehicles. Look at Hamas. And you're like, wait a second. How did Hamas do that with AK-47s and a couple of RPGs? No, those vehicles are blown to bits. Like, you know, rocket fire, helicopter rocket fire. Does Hamas have helicopters? Turns out, no. Hamas does not have helicopters. Oh, by the way, you know who does have helicopters? The Houthis. They've got, in fact, I'm really impressed. I'm going to play this video for you. I'm so impressed. I'm impressed at the helicopter piloting skills of whoever flew this helicopter. This video you're about to see, this is the hijacking of the ship, what's it called, Galaxy Leader in the Red Sea, by the Houthis from Yemen, who some people say are funded by Iran. But I'm going to narrate this video. You got to check this out. Watch this. All right, here we are. Here we are. This is the Houthis helicopter about to hijack this Galaxy Leader. You can see the ship name there. This is some tough flying. I mean, number one, the ship itself is pitching and rolling because of the seas. So the ship, and it's moving forward, right? The ship is not a stationary target. So this helicopter pilot is doing some pretty amazing flying. That's all I've got to say. I'm totally impressed with the helicopter pilot here. Look how close the wheels are to the fence there. I mean, you could get hung up on that. Not a safe maneuver, man. That you got to have some balls to pull that off. Anyway, here come the Houthis unloading out of the helicopter. And, of course, they're armed and they've got tactical boots and they've got, looks like, what are those? Yeah, they got AKs. And they've got backpacks and goggles and they look outfitted. They've got chest rigs and they've got some gear. Oh, this guy needs to practice some barrel sweep control, turns out. Then they're going in, and they are raiding the ship. Hey, your ship is now our ship, you know? And there they are, and everybody's, of course, surrendering. You're not gonna fight these guys if you're just a ship captain or whatever. So here they are. A lot of GoPro cameras in this. Wonder why GoPro doesn't feature this footage on their website for marketing their cameras, because this is pretty incredible stuff. First-person ship hijacking with the GoPro. Here we go. Go under the main deck. Here, what is that? Second level deck? Deck 9? It says deck 9. This is a big ship. You know, it's a big cargo vessel. So, they've taken it over. You know, they're checking for any holdouts, and now it's their ship. And, of course, the United States says, oh, my gosh, this is an act of terrorism. You can't hijack our ships. But, of course, bombing hospitals in Gaza is perfectly okay with the U.S. So now this ship is in the hands of the Houthis. So that's all it took was really one really good helicopter pilot and, you know, a few dudes with rifles. Dudes that, frankly, didn't even look like they were that good at what they were doing. Clearing a ship can be done better than that. I've seen better. That wasn't that great, but anyway, it was effective, so they got the ship. But do you realize that most of these ships out there in the ocean, they have no means of self-defense? They're not armed, which always boggled my mind. Why wouldn't you just put a couple of 50 cals, you know, on the corners of the ship? Why not? You can carry a lot of ammo. It's a ship, obviously. There's not a weight limit, you know? I mean, on the ammo, there's not. You can defend yourself. You can easily shoot down a helicopter trying to land. So how come these ships aren't armed? But the point is that the Houthis can do this to any ship they want. I mean, any non-military ship, you know, any cargo vessel. They can do the same thing. They don't even need to land a helicopter. They can just rappel out of the helicopter. They can just hover, you know, a few meters above the ship, and they can do this. So I think we're going to see more of this happening. We're going to see more Houthis taking over more ships and not really not holding them for ransom, but holding them, probably demanding, you know, ceasing hostilities or releasing maybe Hamas fighters that are held in prisons in Israel, perhaps, or who knows what. But you're going to see a lot more of this. And that turns out to be a very, very effective, you know, insurgency type of technique right there. Landing a helicopter, taking over a ship. How many millions of dollars worth of cargo and, you know, ship assets did they just seize? I don't know the answer to that, but I guess it depends on what the cargo is, but it could be $100 million, right? Pretty easily. So you're going to see more of that. You know, and the other thing that's very different about war right now in 2023 versus war back in even, let's say, Desert Storm in the 1990s, is everybody has a GoPro now. Everybody's got helmet-mounted cameras or chest rig-mounted cameras. You know, even Hamas. And everybody's filming themselves shooting the enemy, and then they're all uploading videos and compiling videos. I mean, Hezbollah has some kind of, you know, pretty talented video editor putting together all these like Fatah videos or something, showing them blowing up Israeli communications towers in northern Israel. You know, day after day, it's like, we blew up this tower, we blew up that tower, we blew up another tower, you know? I'm thinking, yeah, I don't know, I'm not that impressed with blowing up comms towers. I'm really not that impressed with that. I mean, that doesn't get me all excited about, you know, fighting back against incursions or anything, blowing up comms towers. But anyway, they're doing that and they're bragging about it. And everybody's got a GoPro now. And by the way, I think we should force every U.S. senator and congressman to wear a GoPro constantly, every hour of the day, that is also live streaming constantly. I think every American should be able to watch in real time what our representatives are doing with our money. What do you think? Wouldn't that be a good idea? Make them wear GoPros. Have all the footage accessible to every American. Yeah, I want to see Lindsey Graham's GoPro. Or actually, maybe I don't, come to think of it. Some of that GoPro footage might not be suitable for showing anywhere, depending on the age, I guess. Don't even want to go there. But can you imagine Hillary Clinton's GoPro? We would call it like the Clinton GoPro files, if such a thing ever were to exist. That would be like the horrors of humanity, you know? It'd be going from, you know, like the pizzeria to the secret owls in the forest, you know, and the adrenochrome rituals. And like, oh my God, this is a tour of the worst parts of humanity. No, it's a tour of hell. Anyway, Hillary Clinton would never wear a GoPro. So anyway, just to get back to the topic of just wrapping up my discussion of Trump, that's where I'm coming from on Trump. And I'm completely open to changing my position. If Trump were to come out and say, hey, we're going to shut down the FDA, the CDC, the NIH, or we're going to radically reform them, we're going to stop spending government money to pay off Big Pharma and buy all their drugs at monopoly prices. You know, if Trump says, hey, we're going to protect individual freedoms, we're going to guarantee protection of the Second Amendment, we're going to halt America's wars around the world, we're going to bring our soldiers home, and we're going to end the Federal Reserve. Yeah, we're going to have honest money so we can't have money printing. If he would do those things, hey, yeah, right, then two thumbs up. But then again, if he said all that, the CIA would assassinate him like they did JFK. So you know how that goes. All right, by the way, since we're getting close, I'm changing the subject. We're getting close to the Christmas season, and it's time for Christmas carols, or almost time. I mean, I know Thanksgiving isn't quite here yet, but it's time for Christmas carols. And there's a very lovely song that has been put out by Israeli children that is kind of a peacetime, like a peace on earth and brotherly love. And it's sang by children, kind of like a Christmas carol. And I'd like to play this song for you. It's a little children's choir, you know, just to uplift humanity. And just to finally show you that the Israelis are not, you know, bad people, you know, they're not all out for genocide. They're not trying to kill everybody. You know, they're not trying to exterminate or annihilate an entire ethnic group in Gaza. No, not at all. Listen to these children sing from their hearts with love and genuine compassion, okay? And I'm going to, since they're singing in Hebrew, I'm going to read the translation, obviously in English, as they're singing, okay? So here we go. Enjoy this. All right. Here's the Israeli children singing. This was created by the Israeli public relations firm Rosenbaum Communications. English subtitles have been added. Here we go. We are the children of the victory generation. Autumn night falls over the beach of Gaza. Planes are bombing destruction, destruction. Look at the IDF. Look, the IDF is crossing the line to annihilate the swastika bearers. In another year, there will be nothing there, and we will safely return to our homes. Within a year, we will annihilate everyone, and then we will return to plow our fields. And we will remember everyone, the pretty and the pure. We will never let our hearts forget a friendship like that. Love sanctified with blood. You will return and bloom amongst us. We have now run out of words. Our soul still cries out. Our soul not only sings, today our soul also fights. One people, the people of forever, evermore, we won't stop protecting our homes. We won't be silent. We will show the world how today we destroy our enemy. And we will remember everyone, the pretty and the pure. We will never let our hearts, we will never let our hearts forget a friendship like that. Love sanctified with blood. Anyway, it goes on from there, but I just thought that that was such a loving song to speak of. Well, obviously I'm being satirical. It's a horrifying song that talks about annihilating an entire ethnic group. And this song is being taught to Israeli children to sing this with kind of the worst kind of brainwashing that you can possibly imagine, to turn children into, you know, little genocidal Nazis, essentially. Now, this is some sick, twisted stuff. They've taught these children to sing about mass murder, but this will probably, you know, this will substitute for Christmas carols. I know some of you are like, you can't say Christmas, man. It's Israel. It's Judaism. It's not Christmas. Hanukkah carols. Okay. I get it. Hanukkah carols. Hanukkah carols, we will annihilate everyone, we will kill them all. Happy Hanukkah, right? So is that what it's going to be then, this Hanukkah season? Yeah, because this is what they're doing in Israel right now. Pretty sick, twisted stuff. And Trump says he will support them, just to be clear. No judgment from me. That's Trump. He says it. These children, they're singing. I mean, I'm assuming the translation is accurate. Do any of you speak Hebrew? Can you confirm? Is that translation about right? I don't speak Hebrew. But if Israel did have Christmas carols, it would be something like, dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh, over the hills we go, annihilating Gaza all the way, right? That's how it would go. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to bomb your hospitals away. Hey, jingle bells, that you would hear that. Or how about this Christmas classic? Silent night. bombs, crashing, buildings collapsing, body parts, holy night, baby screaming, blood everywhere, hospitals exploding, all is calm, right? That's the Israeli version of Silent Night. Yeah, I think they should do a whole album. The Israeli Christmas Carol album with a new single, like The Little Bomber Boy. Have you ever heard that song, The Little Bomber Boy? Dun, 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 dun. We bomb the hospitals, ba-rum-bum-bum-bum. Dun, 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 dun. We bomb the refugee camps, rum bum bum bum. Dun, 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 dun. I mean, hey, what's not to like with the Israeli Christmas Carol album, huh? I mean, it's all love and peace, right? It's all love and peace. That's what we've been told by Netanyahu and all the other lunatics over there, the psychopaths. It's all love and peace. Genocide in the name of peace, yeah? 'Tis the season. Yeah, I'm not even going to sing all the songs, like Grandma Got Run Over by an IDF Bulldozer. That's another classic, obviously. And then, of course, the all-time wartime Christmas classic, Rydell the Red-Nosed Soldier had a very shiny nose. You know how that goes. Yeah. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, hey, Rydell, with your nose so bright, won't you raid Hamas tunnels tonight? Yeah, and then how the soldiers loved him, right? That's an all-time favorite among certain groups. Yeah, don't miss it, folks. It's the Hanukkah Christmas Carol collection, available exclusively from HanukkahChristmasCarols.com. Oh my goodness, it's so twisted. I don't know what to say. I mean, at some point, I mean, I've spoken out against the violence again and again and again. I've called for peace. I've called for humanitarian principles to prevail. And then the insanity of what's going on today is just so off the charts. At some point, it just begs for mockery to show the world how stupid this is. How stupid it is to be bombing people in the name of peace, which is exactly what the IDF is doing. That's what Netanyahu is doing. So no more bombing in the name of peace, you sons of b****s. You're not heroes of peace. You are villains of death. All right, moving on to some serious news, and this is very serious stuff. UK Daily Mail reporting today the following. Putin plans to fly world's biggest nuclear missile, the Satan 2, as it's called. It's actually, I think in Russia, they call it the Sarmat 2, over the South Pole. Yeah, yeah, South Pole. That's not a typo. You would normally think North Pole, right? South Pole. In test launch, says Russian state media, before the report is censored. This supposedly unstoppable missile is as tall as a 14-story tower block. Putin views this as his ultimate weapon against the West in the event of a nuclear war. Now, here's what you need to understand. This is a 208-ton intercontinental nuclear weapon, the RS-28 Sarmat. It travels at 15,000 miles per hour. how many Mach is that? I don't know. It's a lot of Mach. It's the doomsday missile. TASS reported, that's the, you know, the Russian news agency, reported that even a truncated flight development test, and assuming all launches are successful, would require several more launches, including via the South Pole. All right. Why the South Pole? Here's why. Because America's anti-ballistic monitoring and defense systems are all assuming a North Pole arrival from Russia. Because, of course, if you look at the Earth, you know, from the top down, from the North Pole, Russia, the shortest distance to the United States, is over the North Pole by far. Right? But Russia has these missiles now that can go the other way around. The long way, in other words, launch them south and they traverse the entire South Pole, then come back up around and they can hit you know, they would hit the southern United States first. And guess what? There are virtually no systems that would be able to intercept that. Not that the U.S. can intercept these hyperglide vehicles anyway, and the Sarmat 2 missile system has this nose cone that I've mentioned before that opens up, and it releases all these hyperglide vehicles, which are like Mach 20 gliders that contain nuclear warheads. And we learned yesterday those are 2-megaton warheads. That's interesting to note. And then they can have a 2-megaton warhead strike every major U.S. city all at about the same time within, you know, less than a minute of each other, basically. So New York, kablooey, Chicago, kablooey, right? Houston, kablooey, Denver, L.A., you name it, kablooey, kablooey. And there's nothing the U.S. can do to stop that because the U.S. doesn't have anti-air defense systems that can intercept those. So the South Pole is, in fact, a tactically advantageous route for Russia to exploit for the purpose of taking America by surprise, in a sense. Essentially, America has no defenses against this, and I haven't done the math on this, but you could do the math. If this thing travels at 15,000 miles per hour, how many minutes does it take from launch to striking the United States? Well, it's not that long. I mean, what is the circumference of Earth? It's around 25,000 miles. So this missile could fly, what, about 3/5 of the way around the entire planet in 1 hour. So there you go. So it doesn't have to go all the way around the planet. In other words, it could, from launch to striking the U.S., let's say less than an hour. There you go. All right. Hey, by the way, changing the subject, let's talk about crypto for just a second here. Kraken, the platform that I recommend because it's the only platform that I learned that I can trust, Kraken, that's KRAKEN.com. Kraken has been sued by the Securities and Exchange Commission, claiming that Kraken has failed to register for operating as a securities exchange. So this is the SEC just trying to take down crypto. And this is Gary Gensler going insane. Kraken is going to defend itself, by the way. And Kraken has said that the SEC view of digital assets is, quote, incorrect as a matter of law, false as a matter of fact, and disastrous as a matter of policy. So Kraken has more than 10 million clients. It's based out of San Francisco. I like Kraken, even though it's based out of San Francisco. Kraken is a pro-liberty platform. And Kraken is one of the few exchanges where you can buy the privacy crypto Monero. And that's probably why the SEC is not happy with Kraken, because, you know, Kraken's doing a great job of helping to onboard people into privacy crypto, you know, such as Monero again. So by the way, if you want to use Kraken, just go to kraken.com, K-R-A-K-E-N. And there is a KYC process, you know, they'll need your ID and everything. And there's a process to go through to get onboarded. But once you're onboarded and you can link your bank accounts and everything, and you can purchase crypto that way. And if you do that, I recommend you pull crypto off Kraken and self-custody your own crypto. And if you want to know a lot more about that, including our interview with Kraken, which was a couple months ago, you can watch my new show called Decentralize TV. And that's at the website decentralize.tv. And we've got, I think, 22 episodes posted there. And you're going to really enjoy that. You're going to learn a lot about protecting your assets and also growing food for us and decentralizing your life and all kinds of amazing things. So be sure to check out those episodes in your spare time. Now, before we get to the interview with Shield Arms, I've got some Black Friday discounts from some of our various partners and companies that I just like. So number one, Shield Arms has discount code Ranger that gets you 10% off everything at their website, including their fanny packs, which are concealed carry fanny packs, their belts, the magazines, the firearms, the folding rifles with the or folding pistols with arm braces, all of that. At shieldarms.com, use discount code Ranger and save 10%. And then at Hoplite Armor, that's H-O-P-L-I-T-E, Hoplite Armor, which is the body armor, high-end, designed in America, made in America, very lightweight for its ballistic rating. You can use discount code RANGER, and you'll save 20%, which is a temporary discount level, by the way. They normally don't offer that. So right now, through Black Friday, 20% off, discount code RANGER at Hoplite Armor. And oh, and by the way, for both of these, I don't get a percentage. It's not an affiliate thing. It's just a discount to you. Although both of these companies, they do from time to time provide me with hardware at no charge to me for evaluation, which is of course very much appreciated, but it gives me the ability to be hands-on with their products. But the funny thing is I was a customer of these companies, you know, even before they offered these discount codes. And that's true with a lot of companies that I recommend, by the way. I was a customer first. So anyway, I have in my hands right now, and we're about to jump into the interview with Brandon from Shield Arms, but I have a Shield Arms SA9, which I think is kind of a funny name if you speak Spanish, because it's like SA9. Get it? SA9. SA9. Yeah. I think it's funny, but for non-Spanish speakers, they might think that that's stupid. No, I think it's hilarious. But anyway, it's called the SA9. Again, I can't stop laughing. And it's an AR-15 style pistol. I have mine set up with an arm brace here. It has standard AR controls. So it's an ambidextrous safety, which I really appreciate. So you've got, you know, your safety controls. You've got your bolt carrier group released with an oversized paddle, which I appreciate, and your mag release right where it's supposed to be, right above the trigger, so you can hit that with your right index finger. But most importantly, this pistol shoots 9mm rounds, and it accepts standard Glock magazines. Yes, so you can go out and get yourself, you know, a Glock 17 mag, which is a pretty good capacity. I forgot how many that holds, like, I don't know, 17 rounds or something like that. Or you can go get your high-capacity, super fun 40-round Glock mags or 30-round Glock mags, whatever you want, and you can run it that way. And the best part is this whole thing is folding. So it folds right where the bolt carrier group meets the buffer, the buffer spring and whatever this, I guess, the buffer rod. What do you call that? I forgot what you call that part. Anyway, it folds right there, and then it folds back into place. Here it is. There you go. Hear that click? It's folding back into place, ready to rock. Standard charging handle. But it's very lightweight for this platform. It's got a good, solid feel to it. You know, it cycles just like you would expect. And it's got a trigger that I would estimate at 4.5 pounds, let's say. And it's got, you know, standard takedown pins and everything else. It's a really nice setup. So, and of course, it's got a Picatinny rail on top, so you can put, you know, your standard optics or whatever you want on top. All your lights and all your lasers and all your beacons and everything. You can load this thing up. No, there's not that much room on it because it's pretty compact. But you can put optics on top and you're good to go. So I would just say, folks, keep it legal, obviously. Know your local laws. Make sure you get trained and have experience with firearms. Make sure you understand firearm safety. And, you know, keep them out of reach of children and so on, especially those choir singing children in Israel. Don't let them get their hands on this stuff. But you can check all this out at shieldarms.com. So here's the interview with Brandon from Shield Arms. Enjoy, and I'll be back with you tomorrow. Yeah, one more episode before Thanksgiving. So talk to you then. Oh, I almost forgot. There's one more discount to share with you. If you go to 1791gunleather.com, you can use discount code HRR15, and that'll save 15% on all orders. Now, why does this matter? Because these gun leather holsters have solved all of my holster problems. And I interviewed these guys a few months back. Let me just tell you briefly, these holsters are truly revolutionary because they consist of a malleable, meltable polymer that's sandwiched in between two layers of leather. And what you do is you get these holsters, you put them in a plastic bag, you put it in a pot of water, you heat it up to 165 degrees Fahrenheit, and then you stick your unloaded pistol in the holster and you mold around your gun and it becomes a custom holster for your gun. And they sell only about, I think, 6 or 7 different holsters that covers all the guns out there, all the pistols, including all the lights and everything. There's only 6 or 7 different holsters that do it all. Whether you have a 1911 or a Glock 17 or a P365 SIG, or, I mean, it doesn't matter what brand you have, you know, Shadow Systems gun, anything, M&P, you name it, these holsters will work for you. And I actually had one of their holsters and I was using it to carry a Glock 19 for a little while. And then what's cool is I swapped out that Glock 19 for a Glock 43X. Well, those are two totally different size pistols, right? The Glock 43X is thinner. And so the holster didn't fit. So what did I do? I took the holster, plopped it in a plastic bag, put it in a pot of water with a thermometer, you know, cooked it up to 165 degrees. And then I molded it around my Glock 43X. It only took a few minutes and now it's the perfect fit. It's got great retention for my Glock 43X. You can't do that with most holsters. And the other thing that I've found with holsters over the years is that all those Kydex holsters, they all break. Every single Kydex holster I've ever tried, including hybrid Kydex, like leather on the inside, Kydex on the outside, whatever, they all break. I've broken them all. And I think that's just because I wear my firearm all the time. I actually practice concealed carry, right? All the time. So, well, not when I'm sleeping or showering. That would be weird. But all the other time, yeah, I've got it. So I break all the other holsters. They just don't hold up to, you know, my rugged ranch lifestyle, frankly. These holsters from 1791gunleather.com, they hold up. They're awesome. This is the only holster that I need from here forward. I mean, the only brand of holster. I have a few of their holsters, actually, at this point, because, well, I've got some on the left side and some on the right side because I like to practice offhand shooting. And when I had injured my index finger earlier this year, I did a lot of left-handed shooting, so I was carrying left-handed. And anyway, that's why I've got a bunch of different holsters from them. But 1791gunleather.com, 15% discount. Unheard of. Use discount code HRR15. And again, I don't earn anything off of that. It's just a discount passed along to you. However, they did provide me at no charge to me for evaluation, their fanny pack, a couple of belts, and a couple of other different size holsters. So they do give me some gear for evaluation, but I don't earn anything off your purchase. Just to be, you know, fully transparent with whatever arrangements you might be imagining. It's for these gear companies, it's really simple. If I love their gear, I help promote them. Sometimes they send me more gear to check out. Sometimes I like it. Sometimes I don't. It's really that simple. And then I ask them for discount codes to pass along to you, which is exactly what this is, because I want you to save money on their gear. So take advantage of this while you can. You will be happy with your holster from 1791gunleather.com. I have no doubt about that. You will love their holster. I've done so much ranch work with this Glock 43X. The retention is really, really great, even in a leather holster. Yeah. Okay. All right. Welcome to today's interview here on Brightown.com. Mike Adams joining you from my home studio today because we're talking about gear today, preparedness and survival gear. And my special guest today is Brandon from ShieldArms.com. Now, Shield Arms, I consider them kind of a partner with us because they've provided so much incredible gear to so many people. And they don't compensate me. They don't pay me to do these interviews, but they do provide me gear for evaluation, which I greatly appreciate. And I've had very positive experiences with that gear. So, Brandon, welcome to the show today. Thank you for joining me. I really look forward to what you have to show us today.
Well, thanks for having me, Mike.
It's great to have you here, and I also want to thank you for providing the discount code for our audience. The discount code is RANGER, good for everything at shieldarms.com, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, fantastic. So let's start with what actually got me initially interested in Shield Arms was your folding stocks, your patented folding stock system for AR-15 pistols and rifles. Can you talk a little bit about that and the success you've had with that? And we'll get to mags and things like that later, but start with the folding stocks.
Sure. Yeah. I've got an example here. A lot of folks are sort of familiar with the adapter approach, right? AR-15s do not fold sort of out of the box. And so some companies came along, they made adapters that you would then retrofit your gun in order to allow the buttstock to fold. We came along and said, look, we think there's a better way of doing this. We built the folding mechanism into the lower receiver. And what we've come up with is a sort of more low profile, lighter weight, and more cost-effective approach. And so that was our first sort of commercial success, if you will, was what we call the folding lower receiver, which this button here will allow the buttstock to fold. And you can see that I have the bolt retracted, so that's not going to work.
Yeah.
So right, send the bolt forward, and then, of course, your buttstock can then fold. I don't know how well that's showing up on camera, but...
Yeah, we can see it.
Good. So, yeah, that was our first sort of commercial success. And the product that kind of, I don't know, put us on the map, if you will.
Yeah. Okay. And I, the reason I like that is because, you know, it makes it more portable. So of course I always encourage our viewers to respect your local laws. Obviously it's your responsibility to check your laws, but here in Texas it's very easy to have a folding AR like that in your vehicle where it's legal so that you can, you know, defend yourself against some road rager or something. And it's, you know, it becomes much shorter, obviously, when you fold it than the full size rifle. So it's just easier to maneuver in the vehicle. It's worth noting, however, that it doesn't, I mean, technically you could fire one round from that position, although I know you don't recommend that. I've done that on camera before.
I saw you do it.
Yeah, I did it just to see if it could be done, but I wasn't putting my face behind that, by the way.
Yeah.
Just because it's not my first rodeo with firearms, but, technically, I mean, you need to fold the stock back into place before you begin to put rounds down range, correct?
Correct. And, you know, there's kind of a misconception with folding guns. I think video games and Hollywood has sort of led people astray. You really don't, whether it's an AK, it doesn't matter what the gun is, you really don't want to be firing guns from the hip in this position. It's not a very accurate, right. You know, you're responsible for every round that comes out of this gun, right? So you need to make sure that what you're aiming at is what you're hitting at, you know? So we tell people, even if the gun didn't require it to be folded, you should be folding the gun out, shouldering the weapon properly, and then making sure that the rounds are going where they're designed to go. So,
yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. Especially, you know, those rounds, I mean, the range of a 5.56 round, it's a lot more than just 300 yards.
Yep.
If you're angling it up, it can travel 800, 900 yards. You don't know where that's going.
Yep.
So, you know, firing from the hip is just a Hollywood
trope. It's silly.
Nobody does that.
No.
Yeah. Nobody who wants to actually hit anything that is. Okay. So you've got that available. Now, I do have to ask you, the ATF was recently smacked down a little bit with its arm brace rule.
Yep.
At least a temporary stay, but it's a nationwide stay issued, I think, by a Texas judge, if I'm not mistaken. How does that affect your ability to retail the AR-15 pistols with arm braces? Do you currently have those available, or you're waiting?
Nope, we do. We were cleared by our attorneys to go ahead and resume selling. So yeah, pistol braces are back on the menu as of today. And from what we understand,
As of today, wow.
Well, it's, you know, a few days ago at the time of recording,
okay.
But yeah, we do have them available today. Our understanding is, that this is, it's a stay, but it's nationwide, and it sounds like it's not going to be temporary. I guess we'll all have to just wait and see. But it sounds like this one might stick. So again, not a lawyer. Okay. That's what we understand.
Yeah. Again, I urge my viewers, check your local laws.
Yeah.
It's your responsibility to be in compliance. But which arm braces do you use? Are you using SB Tactical arm braces?
SB Tactical. Yep. Those are the best.
Okay. Okay, great, great. And can you show us one of the, do you happen to have one?
I don't.
Sitting around there?
No, all of the guns in here are either SBRs or rifles. So.
Okay.
All right. Have any of those.
No worries.
They're available on the website, though. And, you know, the cool thing about SB Tactical, they really came along and found a niche, we'll call it. But they weren't designed to be shoulder fired. But if you were to shoulder fire them, they do function much like a stock is. And so that's the thing that the ATF is sort of upset about, even though the SB Tactical didn't, you know, design them to be shoulder fired. It was more as a brace for the arm. You certainly could, and that's sort of the crux of the matter.
Well, and let me chime in, because quite a bit of our audience here watching today are women, and many women, because they typically don't have the same upper body muscle mass as men. I found that a lot of women really need an AR-15 pistol with a brace in order to really effectively use that in self-defense. Whereas a full-length 16-inch rifle with a stock is just too much for a lot of women, especially as they age. Are you hearing that kind of feedback as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think they originally designed that product for folks who had injuries. I don't know that they necessarily had women in mind, but I can understand where you're coming from on that. What I will say is that the AR-15 is a wonderful platform, and you can pretty much dress it up or down to do just about anything you need it to do. So whether that's long range shooting, or that's a small compact little 9mm gun that fits in a bag, the AR-15 platform is very versatile, and it can be you can outfit your weapon system to suit your need, which is another reason why the folks on, you know, the left want to get rid of those, because they are very effective.
Yeah, good point. Now, you mentioned 9mm there, so you also have 9mm carbines, and I assume you have them in pistol format with arm braces as well now?
Correct, yep.
All right, what's the model number on that?
SA9.
SA9.
Yep.
Can you show us that?
I can in SBR format. So we've got, well, here's one that's painted a little nicely, but yeah. So this is 9mm. Obviously, when this thing folds down, it gets pretty small, and this will fit. You can have this thing in just about any of your backpacks. I know, of course, right. Obey your local laws, make sure that you guys are legal. But here in Montana, there's nothing wrong with having this in pistol format in your backpack. You know, in Texas, it'll be the same. So that's the beauty
the
of
magazines.
The folding. Yeah, this is a Glock.
So it takes Glock mags?
This is a Glock compatible system. But yeah, that's the beauty of these little 9mm guns. Is, you know, this is an 8-inch barrel. You'd never know as small as it is. But yeah, they just take standard Glock mags.
Okay. So a question I have for you then is, in terms of, let's say, the Glock 43X mags here,
which
you also have your mags, do those work in your SA9s?
Coming soon. We'll have an SA9. Yeah. Coming soon, we're going to have an SA9 that's compatible with our S15 magazines.
Okay.
And then there's longer versions of the S15 coming. So if you're a fan of the stick mag, stay tuned.
Okay. All right. Very cool. With that, actually, let's talk about magazines, because what else your company is really famous for. And this, by the way, you got me back into Glocks. It was Shield Arms that converted me back to Glocks, because let me back up. I carried a Glock 19 for many, many years, and sometimes a Glock 17 around the ranch. But the polymer mags became a problem, because I carried every day, and I encourage everybody to carry every day, that one time when I had to use my firearm against a snake, a rattlesnake, which requires some pistol skills, by the way, to hit a snake. I fired one round and the magazine dropped out.
Oh.
And it was a factory Glock mag. And what had happened is that the retention indent on the polymer mag had worn out over time as it was rattling around on my hip as I carried it for X number of years. And that made me realize, oh my gosh, this could have been a disaster if I had needed it in self-defense. I would have had one round and that's it. So to me, that was a real failure of the polymer mags. So I went to SIG at that time, and I carried SIGs for a number of years, like the P320. And then I got a little bit freaked out by the fact that the P320 doesn't have a trigger safety, and it was having unintended discharges even among cops who were just holstering it and then walking, and then the gun would go off and shoot them, you know, in the leg or the foot or the butt. That didn't sound good. So when you came along and recommended the Glock 43X with your steel mags, I switched over to that, and now I love it, and that's what I carry every day. So that's my story. Tell us about your steel mags.
Yeah, well, that's great to hear. Thank you for that. So Glock came out with the 43X and the 48 pistols. Those guns ship with a 10-round magazine, which isn't great for the form factor. It's certainly not bad, but it's not as many rounds as we thought those guns should hold. And so we developed a 15-round magazine that fits in the same footprint. It doesn't extend out past the end of the gun. And so it's still the same concealed carry package you would get. You just get 50% more ammo. And yeah, it's a steel magazine. And then that does require what we recommend is a steel mag catch. But that's the only modification to the gun. You swap out your mag catch, which is about a 2-minute job, and then you can run steel mags.
So question, why wouldn't Glock have a 15-round mag? If, I mean, you've been able to figure it out, how come they didn't do it?
Well, we used to tell people it's because we're just that smart, but people kind of figured out we're not. So that joke kind of played itself out. But the honest answer is Glock could if they wanted to. The problem is that they've invested heavily. This is a guess. I don't obviously know anybody at Glock, but they've invested heavily in the way that they make magazines, which is a steel core with polymer overmolded. And they have spent the last 30, 40 years telling people that this is the best way of making a magazine. If they were to then switch for just one of their guns, you know, that probably wouldn't be the best messaging from a product standpoint. That's all a guess. I don't know Gaston. I don't know anybody there. So I don't know why they don't, but that's my guess.
But so there's something about the way they make mags that prohibits 15 rounds? It's just the geometry they have?
Well, it is for the form factor. So not the geometry of the magazine itself, but if you're trying to fit it in this mag well, there isn't enough room to have a steel magazine, put polymer over it all the way around, and have it still hold 15 rounds. That's why their magazine is a single stack magazine, where the rounds in the magazine are essentially stacked in a column, a single column. This is a double stack magazine where the rounds are staggered, which allows it to, of course, fit more. So when we stripped off the polymer, we had more room in the magwell. Spreading the magazine out this way helps you because you can fit more rounds in there. Spreading the magazine out this way actually hurts you. And so we've done some things with our patented design that allows the magazine to still function and to hold the same position in the magwell without it moving around and still hold 15 rounds.
Now, I call that magazine, which I have here, I call this, I mean, this is just my nomenclature, I call it a 1.5 stack mag.
Technically, yes.
Because it's staggered, right?
Yeah.
And it's very thin. And the thing I like about this Glock 43X, and this also applies to our women viewers here today, is that the Glock 43X is much easier to grip if you have smaller hands than big manly hands. I even prefer it now over the Glock 19 because it's thinner and it prints less, the Glock 43X. It's easier to conceal. And with your mags, Brandon, from Shield Arms, now it has the capacity that I'm used to. Now, you know, SIG, of course, use the same geometry that you're talking about with their magazines on their P365 to give it, I think, 10+1, which is quite remarkable for how small that firearm is. And I'm a fan of that gun, except again, I don't know when it's going to go off, you know. but back to Glock, it seems like in this competitive marketplace, I can't imagine how Glock could say 10 rounds is enough in this form factor when there are SIGs and there's M&P and there are other products out there that can hold 15, like what you're doing with your magazines. It seems like pretty big oversight on Glock's part.
Yeah, I can't comment on that. We agree with you, of course, because we made the magazine. But what I can tell you is that prior to our magazine coming out, that gun was pretty much dead on arrival. Nobody was excited about it. Nobody was gearing up for it. Today, with our magazine on the market, that gun is the number one selling pistol in America. So you do the math. Yeah. So
no kidding.
We try not to take all the credit because it is a good gun, but we do feel like we had something to do with that.
Well, that's really interesting. So do you publicly talk about how many of these magazines you've sold?
We try not to, no.
Okay.
A lot. We've sold a bunch. Yeah.
All right. We'll leave it at a bunch. I wasn't too happy, of course, with the stock Glock trigger. Mm-hmm. And so far, I've just replaced the trigger bar with the Ghost, the Ghost bar. Mm-hmm. And that improved it a little bit. It's still not where I want it. So I may have to do something a little more dramatic. What do you recommend? I mean, the stock trigger, even the way you sell it stock, mm-hmm. is too harsh for my taste. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Without getting into the geometries and the mechanical engineering side of things, there is some variance in Glock pistols. You will pick up 4 or 5 and you'll have a different trigger pull between those different guns. Some of my favorite drop-in triggers are made by Agency Arms, agencyarms.com. You can get a trigger from them that has the same sort of OEM safety performance, but you get a much cleaner break with way less of that grittiness that you can sometimes feel with a Glock trigger. Yeah. My business partner, Seth, would tell you, look, if your Glock trigger isn't where you want it, go out and shoot 10,000 more rounds and it'll smooth right out.
Right.
I know that's a little bit expensive, but.
Yeah, that's the thing these days. Ammo isn't what it used to be. I mean, I used to go out and I would go through 500 rounds of 9mm in one training session. And these days, can't really justify that.
No, it's hard for anyone. We buy ammo by the pallet here for our testing purposes. And it's just, even at that bulk pricing, it's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So and it's important for our viewers to know then that magazines are not interchangeable between the Glock 43X and Glock 19s or 17s or other fatter, wider Glock models.
Correct. If you buy one of our S15 magazines, these are compatible with the Glock 43X and the Glock 48. There is also a Glock 43, which is a skinnier platform. It's a true single stack, skinnier gun. We do make a magazine for that gun as well, but that one only holds 9 rounds because the magwell is thinner.
I see. Okay. Now, in addition to your steel magazines, which again, I'm a convert now, that this is what I carry. And I have full faith in your mags and in the Glock 43X. I'm liking it a lot.
Thank you.
In addition to that and the folding stock ARs, you also provide quite a bit of other gear. You've got a fanny pack, can I call it that? That's designed for concealed carry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you show us that?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So fanny pack carry can be a little bit controversial. I happen to be a fan, especially in the winter months, depending on how you're dressed. The problem with your traditional fanny pack carry is that it's slow. You put your gun inside of a bag and you have to run a zipper and get a hold of the gun in order to get it out. I'm not the fastest guy in the world to begin with, so I don't need any sort of things slowing me down, right? And so what we did was we came up with what we call our junk sack. It's our take on a fanny pack that is geared for concealed carry. What we've done is replace your traditional zippered pouch with a set of rare earth magnets in the top and then hook and loop closure on the sides so that when the gun is in here, it's not coming open when you don't want it to. You can go and do burpees. You can go do a CrossFit workout. This thing's not going to come open on you. But then when you want it to come open, it's got this big pull tab here and you got this top and closure that's very easy to catch with your hand. And it's on your body at this point, and it's sort of a grip it and rip it standpoint, where it will open up and expose this hook and loop enclosure in here where your firearm would go. Of course, use a proper holster, but your firearm would be sitting in here and give you the same presentation that you would have if it was an inside the waistband or appendix style carry. So we've got videos of our guys running these, and they can go as fast or even faster than clearing your cover garment, getting your gun out. This is actually faster because you're just grabbing this thing in the front and pulling down and then getting your gun out.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. So do people typically open it? If they're a right-handed shooter, they open it with their left hand and then they grab the pistol with the right hand. Okay.
Yeah. The translation works pretty well for training, right? Because if you've been trained, Mike, you know that, you know, if you're concealed carrying, you're clearing a cover garment, whatever that cover garment is. So the first thing you're going to do with your offhand is clear that cover garment, get it out of the way, and then get your firearm out. It's the same movement. Instead of pulling your shirt up to get your gun out, you're just grabbing the front of this and pulling it down to get your gun out.
Great. And so this gives people a lot of options too in the summer, right? When it's very difficult to conceal a firearm if you're dressed very lightly in the summer, you know, like tight shirt and shorts or whatever.
Yep. Yep. And, you know, fanny packs are back. My daughter, she's 14. She tells me that the 80s are back. And I don't know what that means exactly. Even though I was alive in the 80s, I'm not really sure what that means. But apparently fanny packs are back. So, you know, we have them at a bunch of different colors. They kind of blend in. Especially if you just get one of the plain colored ones, you know, nobody knows that you're carrying a gun up here in Montana. That's not super important. But I know in a lot of cities and a lot of places in America, you don't want people to know that you're carrying. This is a great option for folks.
That's fantastic. Okay, great. And by the way, according to my music collection, the 80s never left.
Okay.
So we're still in the 80s.
I want to let her know that.
Yeah. That's what I tell myself. We're still in the 80s. Oh, nothing beats the 80s.
You know, the 80s were a much calmer time, I think.
Yeah. In fact, let's talk about that for a second. But I mean, you have belts. I mean, really good heavy-duty leather gun belts. And just quickly talk about some of the other accessories that you offer.
Sure. You know, we do all kinds of stuff. We have a great concealed carry belt. It's made from a biothane material, which is kind of a coated nylon material that's virtually indestructible. The buckle itself is a machined aluminum. We make those right here in Montana. That allows us to sell a belt that's, we say it's the last belt you'll ever buy because it's a lifetime warranty belt. Try that with a leather belt or even a tactical nylon belt. Eventually those will wear out. And so, yeah, I don't know. We're big fans of them. It's not a product that we're very well known for, but just to give you an example, you know, we are hunters up here and, we shoot elk every year. We have hung entire elk with our belts. Now they're not climbing rated. We don't go out there and pay for the testing, get them climbing rated, but if they'll hold up an elk hanging from the barn, we know they'll hold your pants up.
Yeah. No question about that. Okay. And then again, to our viewers, you can use discount code Ranger to save 10% off of everything at that you offer at shieldarms.com. And by the way, I don't earn anything off of anybody's use of that discount code. It's just something that we pass along to our viewers. And we thank you, Brandon, for making that available to give people a little bit of a discount. Now, with that said, let's talk about the state of the world right now. We know, I mean, our audience especially is very well informed about the fact that police have been defunded. There are more looters than ever before in American cities. We're watching, you know, FedEx trucks and UPS trucks and Amazon vans get looted on a regular basis. And shoplifting is through the roof. There are violent assaults happening. You know, especially across blue cities, let's be honest. And then in addition, the world is becoming more and more dangerous as well with what's happening in the Middle East, especially in tempers have flared and there's a lot of concern about domestic terrorism in the United States. So what are your thoughts as a provider of these problem-solving pieces of equipment about the safety of your customers and the American people?
That's the sort of idea behind what we do at Shield Arms, right? So we make life-protecting gear, not just firearms. We sell medical kits, and then we also really encourage people to go out and seek out training. know how to use your firearm properly. And then if you know how to make holes, then you should also know how to plug those holes. So seek out competent instruction. And we encourage people to carry tourniquets. We sell EDC kits that start out with a bag, a firearm, and a medical kit. And then there's plenty of space for you to accessorize it and sort of make it your own. We do live in a crazy time. And what we tell people is that, you know, while we still have some semblance of rule of law, which we do have in most of America, not all of it, concealed carry is wonderful. You know, make sure you do it lawfully, but concealed carry is wonderful. When things break down, I should say if, but it's looking more like a when at this point, you are going to want a little bit more firepower than just a concealed carry pistol. So that's why we encourage people, even if it's not from us, you know, make sure you get some sort of a long gun and then the training on how to use it.
Yeah, really good point. And sometimes I've even told people start with the long gun because it's much easier to use than a pistol. I mean,
no doubt.
Pistols throw people for a loop. I mean, people freak out and trying to, which eye, you know, why am I seeing 12 versions of my iron sights in my sight picture, you know, but rifles are just like easy.
They are. Yeah. Way easier than pistols.
Yeah.
It's smart to tell people to start with that. I'll have to remember that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think once they understand the principles of the rifle, then transitioning to a pistol, they already have some kind of a base. And also remember that the first time shooter is very scared of the recoil of the pistol. But since the recoil of a rifle, like an AR-15, is so much less, I mean, to you and I, Brandon, it's like, this is nothing. I mean, we barely notice it these days, right? But to a first-time shooter, you know, a rifle is much easier to handle that recoil than a pistol. The pistol freaks everybody out, and that's why they always do the dipping down thing, right?
Sure.
They're always like dipping down in anticipation.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But training is key. You know, whether you're going to start with a pistol or start with a rifle or, you know, hopefully eventually learn both, training is key. So we're big proponents of that.
Absolutely. Now, I'm really glad you sell an EDC kit and medical packs as well. In my vehicle, my primary vehicle, I always travel with multiple tourniquets and first aid kits that are pretty well stocked, by the way, and blood stop gauze and blood stop powders and things like that. Your kit, is there anything that you want to say about your medical kits?
It's your standard traumatic bleeding. So tourniquet, quick clot, you've got combat gauze, essentially things to stop a bad bleed. It's not a kit you're going to want to rip open if you cut your finger. Maybe throw some duct tape on that. And then what we'll tell people is, you know, supplement. So start with if it's not our kit, that's fine. Just get some sort of a traumatic bleeding kit. And then the training to use it. You know, where do you put a tourniquet? Where do you where on the body does it make sense to use quick clot? Where do you start packing wounds and where do you not pack wounds? All that stuff. So training, please seek that out. But then start with some sort of a traumatic bleeding kit. Another great company out there that makes great kits is Refuge Medical. So, you know, please don't think this is just about our stuff. Buy somebody's kit, learn how to use it, and then supplement it to make it your own, right? And that's when you're going to want to add things like your boo-boo kit for, you know, someone got a cut, but it's not to the level of needing quick clot, for example. So,
right. Yeah, I completely agree. I took it was a live fire, stop the bleeding training course a couple years ago that was very instructive. And you and I, we forget that a lot of people don't know the basics. Like if you cut your arm and you're bleeding a lot, some people don't know to, you have to put the tourniquet above the laceration. Some
high
people put the tourniquet below. It's like, what? How's that going to help you?
Don't do that. That's not what you want.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then, we all had to become proficient, of course, in one-handed operation of the tourniquet, you know, strap it on, twist it, tuck it in, and of course, write the time on the tourniquet. If you don't write the time, then the emergency room doctors don't know how long you have before you lose the limb, right?
Yep. Also so, very important.
Very, very important stuff to know. Okay. So, all right. In In addition to, as you say, making holes and then patching up holes, and we've talked about belts and the fanny pack, which I can't wait to sport that out jogging one day. Anything else we should know about?
You know, we do a bunch of other stuff. We've got a knife company. We've got a coffee company. We try to stay pretty busy. We basically do the things. We do the things that we like, and then we hope other folks come along for the journey. But I think the things we're most known for, you've sort of touched on, and you know, your audience knows a lot about knives already through you and through some of your designs. So
true.
Yeah, those have been pretty cool to see.
Oh, good. Thanks for that feedback. Yeah. We produced a batch of those Escape from LA knives, and we couldn't keep them in stock, man.
Oh, they I bet not. I bet not. It's pretty unique. It's pretty cool design. I was pretty impressed.
It's well, this show's not about my knives, but I am going to release some video about using them on the ranch in some very unique ways. Definitely
good. Very interesting. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Okay. So bottom line is, Brandon, I mean, I love the Glock 43X that you provided me, and thank you for that. And that's become my carry firearm. I love the folding stock ARs that you have, and I'm looking forward to trying out the 9mm as well, the 9mm carbine. And your magazines are just top notch. Again, your magazines brought me back to Glock.
Thank you.
So that's how good they are.
Thank you. There's a whole bunch more coming in that arena. We've got, for some folks, these, even though they're not that big a gun, this Glock 43X is just too big for some folks to reliably conceal. And so we've got an even smaller version of this gun coming soon. So stay tuned. We'll make sure to get one of those out to you when those are ready.
Okay, an even smaller version of a Glock 43X?
Yeah, this is kind of a smaller sneak preview.
Oh, so it's a shorter grip, and is the barrel a half inch shorter too?
Same barrel.
Is it the same?
Yeah, the whole top end's the same.
Okay.
The magazine is smaller.
Wow.
It's a 10-round version of the same mag.
So that reminds me, that's kind of like a thinner Glock 26 almost.
You got it. That's exactly right.
Wow. Okay. Well, very cool. Very useful. Okay. Yeah. That'd be great as a backup firearm for your main carry as well.
Yep.
All right, Brandon, anything else you want to add, or have we covered everything?
I think that's it. We just, you know, really appreciate you and your audience, and thanks for having me on. And I appreciate your sort of common sense approach to preparedness. So thank you for that.
Well, absolutely. Thank you for providing the discount code for our audience. Again, the code is RANGER, 10% off everything, including the firearms, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Wow. That's a huge deal. And then remember, folks, we always encourage you need to follow your local laws. When you purchase firearms from Shield Arms, of course, it has to go through your FFL.
Yep.
And if you don't have an FFL, you got to find one, and then you got to go through that and do the transfer there. And hopefully you have a concealed carry, so you don't have to wait on the NICS background check system. But, you know, obey local laws. But most importantly, as Brandon said, do your training. And remember, you don't have to burn through ammo to do a lot of training. You can do dry fire training, practicing, you know, presenting the firearm, practicing the motion of it, practicing clearing jams, reloads, all these things. You can do it in a dry fire configuration. Just make sure that you clear your firearm first, and you're not running live rounds accidentally in your apartment complex or something. So dry fire is, I mean, all the best shooters I know practice dry fire.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yep. All right, Brandon. Well, thank you for joining us today. We appreciate you. And absolutely. And folks, the website again is shieldarms.com, spelled just like it sounds, shieldarms.com, and use discount code RANGER, save 10%. Thank you for watching today. Take care. Today's interview is brought to you by healthrangerstore.com. And if you'd like to support us, check out what we have available. Even after our big Black Friday event, which just concluded, and we had an outpouring of support from our customers. Thank you so much for supporting us. We have such good inventory right now, which is very unusual compared to the last few years, that we still have available food products. So if you want certified organic, lab-tested, storable food, here's your solution right here. There, I'm trying to reach over the Ranger buckets right here that we have in stock. And you can see some of the packs there of how they're sealed. and vacuum packed for long-term storage. And then we've got mega buckets. There's wheat berries. And then we've got some blueberries on top there. That's freeze dried, again, certified organic, laboratory tested blueberries. We have kale. We have some other different berries and different kinds of vegetables as well. All of this available now at healthrangerstore.com. The only thing is it might take a couple more days than usual to ship out because of the huge outpouring during our Black Friday event, which again, just concluded. But on the healthrangerstore.com website, you'll see what we have. We have cocoa energized, astaxanthin soft gels, moringa leaf powder, of course, lab tested because there's a lot of lead in moringa. So we do our ICP-MS testing to make sure that yours is clean. Organic coconut milk powder, and so much more. If you go through the website, you can see all of our superfoods, our freeze-dried products, our best-selling products, a nascent iodine, which is a big seller right now, and so much more. Just check it all out at healthrangerstore.com, and with your support, we will continue to bring you compelling, informative, eye-opening interviews that help you understand and navigate the world around you. So thank you for all your support. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon and of healthrangerstore.com. Take care.